presence. The Lord God that has brought you this morning will bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we continue from where we stopped last week, Sunday. Those that changed the world. Those that changed the world. Those that changed the world. And I'm going to be giving us 1 point today. Just one. But that 1 point, I'm going to try within the limited time available to me to analyze and expatiate on it. If you are writing, you are going to write very fast. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to be running this morning. Praise the Lord. All right, shall we read our theme scripture? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. Verse 6, that's our focus scripture for this topic. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse 6, it says, and when they found them, they will find you. In the name of Jesus, they will find you. In the mighty name of Jesus, nothing will cover your shining. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. When they need men to solve problems, you will be among. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, they will locate you. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, and when they found them, they drew Jesse and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Hallelujah. They said, these that have changed the world, these that have changed the doctrine of men, these that have turned the world upside down have come into our city. And may you be that man in the name of Jesus, the one that will change the norm. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. The one that will turn things around positively in your generation. May you be that one. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Alright, I've given us about 5 points. Hallelujah. So I move to point number 6 today. Those that change the world. What are the unique things about them? What are the characteristics of these men? And today, number 6 is this. They are fearless. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They are what? They are fearless. They are fearless. They are bold. Hallelujah. When you look at the word fearless, it has so many synonyms. You know, they are daring. They are courageous. They are bold. They are unafraid. They are brave. They are undaunting. They are resolute. Hallelujah. Those are some of the synonyms. So when you say somebody is fearless, they that change the world are fearless. You know, it is one of the things that endears me to the hearts of men that are fearless. You know what? They are bold. They are authoritative. You know, they do things that you are scared of. Hallelujah. For example, you know, you have just woke up one day, they said they are going to the moon. You know, you just look at it. You look at the moon as one light that is shining. And somebody just woke up and said he's going to the moon. How do they think? Hallelujah. How is the assurance that he's not going there to meet a demon? What's the assurance that he will go there and return? What's the assurance? But yet, that is boldness. That is fearlessness. And those are the things we are going to be looking at this morning. Let's look at this popular scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. In the things that are happening all around the world now. If there is one scripture you need to keep in your heart, it is 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. What does it say? It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. So what does that mean? There is a spirit called the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. And that is the spirit that is ravaging the world. My father and the Lord said, the spirit of fear, hallelujah, is the policeman in the spirit, is the policeman of the devil. Once it arrests you, you are in trouble. Praise the Lord. Who is the policeman? Hallelujah, of the devil. So God recognizes the fact that there is a spirit of fear. But he said, so therefore, what do I do for you? He said, I will therefore do something for you to make you combat and suppress that spirit. And what did he say? He said, I give you the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of soundness of mind to conquer the spirit of fear. Those that change the world, they are fearless. Hallelujah. And we're going to be looking at a series of things about fearlessness this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One of the Bible scholars I follow so much, I love him. He says something very interesting. He says there are 366 fear nots in the Bible. 366 fear nots in the Bible. He says, so that simply means we have one for each day. And in case that year is a leap year like this year, you have an extra. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you wake up every morning, one of the first things you should say to yourself is, I am not afraid. Hallelujah. I will fear not. Praise the Lord. So those that change the world, they are fearless. Now we are going to look at 5 things quickly. about men that are fearless. If you say, if you look at them, why are they fearless? What is the thing that is driving them, that is making them fearless? You need to know those things. So when you know those things, you imbibe them, you make them as part of your own life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to be going to the practicalities of it. I'm a practical preacher. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what are the things that makes them fearless? Number one, this is the first thing you will notice in the life of men and women that are fearless. What is it that you will notice? They are men and women of great convictions. They are men and women of great convictions. What is a conviction? A conviction is a firmly held belief. A firmly held belief. Something they have come to understand. Something they have come to agree with in their mind. And there is nothing you can say to change it. They refuse to change. You know, I've studied, I'm a student of history. I like studying the life of great leaders, both evil, hallelujah, so that you don't know how to become evil, hallelujah, both those that are evil, so that you don't become like one of them, and of course, very good leaders, hallelujah. Men have traveled this world that have done some very terrible things that you will wonder whether they were actually humans, hallelujah. I've studied the life of men like Joseph Stalin of Germany, very terrible man, hallelujah. Men like Adolf Hitler, of course, Second World War, he was done across the Second World War. You know, I've studied the life of such men, but these are men of great convictions. This man, Adolf Hitler, had a very terrible conviction. He told himself, he said, look, he said he believes that the Jew is the problem of the whole world. Therefore, if we eliminate the Jew, the world will be at peace. And he went all out to do that. He killed about 6 million Jews. And all in total, he caused the Second World War, and it's estimated about 50 million people died during the Second World War. What was driving him? That is a conviction. There is something he believes, even though it is wrong, even though it is evil, he refused to change it. Oh, what do I tell you about men like Genghis Khan? I'm sure you must have, if you are a student of history, you remember this man, Genghis Khan, that lived in the early 1100s. Hallelujah. Late 1100s to 1200. Very terrible man. Very, very terrible. Genghis Khan, as a matter of fact, is the father of the Mongolians, or a branch of China, or modern China. He is the one that said them, or he's one of their main fathers. Genghis Khan, that was his name. Very terrible man. Very terrible. He had a conviction, and his conviction is the world can become one. He said he believes he can unite the whole world. So therefore, he decided to go all out and unite the whole world. And at a time, during his days, he had a landmass that he was controlling that is close to the size of Africa. Only him, one man, Genghis Khan. It is estimated that during his lifetime, his armies, including himself, they killed between 20 and 50 million people. Very terrible human beings. What drove them? Some demonic convictions that nothing could just change. And they pursue it with the whole of their strength. That is why men are fearless. They are men of conviction. But glory be to God, you don't need to go the evil way. I'm not here to propagate any evil agenda, but I want you to know that there is need for you to become a man of conviction in the spirit, a man of conviction, a man of resolute understanding of the word of God, a man of resolute understanding of your aim and objectives and the assignment God has committed into your hands. Hallelujah. Now let me show you this young man. These young men, I love them so much. I'm going to read to you about them from the book of Daniel. Chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you about them. They are men of great conviction. You wonder what drives these guys. You wonder. Because at the time they existed in the era of the most powerful king on earth. History has it that if this king looks at you and he frowns, that he doesn't just like your face, his age will just go and cut off the head of the person. Why? Because they just assume that because of the way he looked at you, he doesn't like you. Hallelujah. So they just go and remove the person. So powerful a man. So terrifying a man. Everywhere he steps, he conquers. And his name is Nebuchadnezzar. And that was the era at which they existed. And then look at something that happened. This man said, he just woke up one day and he built a god. And he said, this is an image. And said, it's the god. And said, everybody should bow to that particular image. Everybody should bow to that particular image. But he has about four guys. But three of them specifically in this story. These three guys were men of great convictions. They know our Lord. They know our own Lord. They know their own God. Hallelujah. They told the king to his face. This is a statement nobody makes to a king. Even now, you make it to a president in certain countries, we know that very, very soon, You may disappear. Hallelujah. But look at what he said. I'm reading in the message, contemporary English, so that you can understand. Daniel chapter 3, from verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar. They said, your threat means nothing to us. What? They looked at him boldly. He was the most powerful man on earth as a dead. Just like looking straight in the face of Donald Trump now. Hallelujah. And telling him that, Mr. Man, you're not a serious man. Shut up and sit down. Hallelujah. They looked at him. They said, your threat means nothing to us. Who talks like that? That is fearlessness. These are men of great convictions. Why did they say that? Look at the next verse. They said, if you throw us in fire, the God we serve will rescue us from your roaring fire. We have a conviction that is greater than the fear that you are throwing at us. We have a conviction that is greater than everything and anything the devil can throw at us. He said, we have a God that is superior, that is more intelligent than the God that you have brought forth. Beautiful boys. Hallelujah. But look at how powerful their conviction is. They said, not just about the roaring fire, they said, and anything you might cook up. They looked at his face and they told him to his face. They didn't say it at his back. These are men of great convictions. Look at verse 18. They said, but even if he doesn't, they said, it wouldn't make a bit of difference. Okay, we still would not serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you set up. What? These are men of great convictions. They understood what they believe. There is nothing that can be thrown at them that can make them change their mind. They held on to their conviction in the face of overwhelming challenges. Why? Because their convictions are greater than their fears. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Several years after them, another man showed up. His name is Apostle Paul. I love this man. He's one of my favorite Bible characters. Look at what he said. I'm reading from the message too. It's a contemporary English so that it can really drive home the point. Look at it. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Look at what Paul said. He said, from the message, he said, I am absolutely convinced. Oh! He said, he didn't say I am convinced. He said, I am absolutely convinced. I am absolutely convinced. Beyond all reasonable and unreasonable doubt. I am absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, verse 39, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's law because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. What? He said nothing. He said even living or dead, angelic or demonic. I love that. He said there is nothing that can change my mind. These are men that changed their world, that changed their generation. You can't tell them anything otherwise. They believe God. They know Jesus. They stand on his side. They know him. Hallelujah. You cannot change their mind. Friends, how strong are your convictions? Are your convictions powerful enough to take you to the lion's den? Are your convictions, are they powerful enough to take you through the fiery furnace? That is, this is fiery furnace. That thing that you believe. You know, when you want to know a man of conviction, wait till he has problems. Wait till he has problems. All the convictions will disappear. Praise the Lord. All the convictions will disappear. Some people will even tell you, let's keep faith aside. These are men of convictions. Men that come to church, tongue-talking believers. They say, no, let's talk reality. Let's keep faith aside. Who keeps faith aside? Then what are your convictions? You are a weak man. You are a man that has no convictions. When challenges of life comes against a man, when demons show up, that's where you know a man of conviction. But these men, they are men of convictions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me quickly give you three things that help to strengthen your convictions. Hallelujah. I'm still making point number one. Another point number one. I'm discussing three things now. Convictions. The power of your convictions. Number one thing that I want you to know. How do I build my convictions? Number one, be certain to hear from God. If you are not sure about a particular matter that you want to go into, settle down and pray. Once you settle down and pray about that matter, wait till God speaks. Immediately God brings his voice on that which you are waiting on him for. don't shift. Be very, very sure. Be very, very sure that God has spoken. That is how to build your conviction. Once you have heard him, once you have heard him, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. So therefore, he said, neither death, nor life, nor angelic, nor demonic. He said, there is nothing that can change my mind. I know what I had. Hallelujah. Number two, know and build your inherent God-given gifts. Hallelujah. Number one, I said what? I said, be certain to hear from God, especially in the place of prayer, to build your convictions. Then number two, do what? Build and develop your God-given gifts. Hallelujah. You know, this young man in 1 Samuel chapter 17 has not ceased to amaze me. Every time I read this story, I smile to myself. I said, what kind of a human being is this? Do you know what? He saw Goliath. The Bible says Goliath has been a man of war. Goliath came with atomic bomb. Goliath came with chemical weapon. Goliath came with everything. And what did David come with? David didn't even put, he wore singlet. He wore singlet and then catapult. And how do you fight a man with atomic bomb? With catapult. But do you know what? Every man of conviction, they are taking time to develop their weapons. They are taking time to develop their God-given gifts and talents. He knows, David knows, that there is no way he shoots a sling that he will miss. He knew, he has practiced it. Hallelujah. That is why all your inherent gifts, all your inherent potential, take time to develop it. Thank God we have lockdown now. Hallelujah. Don't let it lock down your mind. Don't let it lock down your gifts. Don't let it lock down your talent. Use it as an opportunity to build and invest in the gifts that God has kept on your inside. And then number three thing, know your assignment. Who are you sent to? Where are you sent to? Those are men of convictions. Many times they try to discourage Paul. Paul will tell them, I am Paul, the apostle, sent to the Gentiles. You can't change it. Whether you like it or not, is not my concern. I know where I'm sent to, and I am going there. They said, Mr. Man, turn back. This is. He said, no. I know my assignment. Those three things, once they are in place in your life, they help to build your convictions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are talking about fearlessness. Now, what is the second characteristics or the second lesson that we can learn from the life of men that are fearless? Number two, they develop a fighting spirit and they go after what they want. They develop a fighting spirit and they go after what they want. There is a story of a young man. I'll share part of it in part A or the first part of this message. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 6. You know, the Holy Spirit showed me this scripture. I couldn't take my eyes off it. So what? Who are these men? These are men that have changed our world. Hallelujah. I spoke about him briefly last week. You remember Uzziah? Hallelujah. But now let's look at 26 verse 6 of 2 Chronicles. The Bible says, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Ha! The Bible says, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines. Those are men that changed the world. Hallelujah. You know, you are living this life, a lackadaisical life, a gentle life. I don't disturb anybody. Nobody should disturb me. I'm okay. Hallelujah. I don't want any trouble. If you don't want trouble, they will bring trouble to you. The Bible didn't say he sat down and waited. The Bible says he knew what he wanted. He wanted the city of the Philistines. What did he do? The Bible says he went out and warred. He went to war. He took battle to the enemy. Your life has been too defensive. And that's why the devil comes every time and you are building a defense mechanism. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you are Lionel Messi. It doesn't matter whether you are Ronaldo. It doesn't matter how intelligent or even Aubameyang. Hallelujah. If you don't score, you don't win. Hallelujah. And you don't score if you keep defending your goalpost. Hallelujah. You go around into the zone of the enemy and you take that which you want. You take the battle to the enemy. That's how to win battles. That's how to win war. You have sat down for too long in that position. You have sat down for too long in the same place. You have not done anything about your life. You take out battle for the enemy. Take it to the zone of the enemy. Step into the zone. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, and he went and built a city in the midst of the cities of the Philistines. Who does that? That's a man that knows what he wants and goes after it. He took warfare to them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you don't go out and go out for warfare, you cannot come back with welfare. It's not possible. It doesn't work that way. Everything that you want in life, life is not ready to give it to you. You take it. By force, you take it. They go all out on the offensive. Hallelujah. Be an offensive-minded man. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a story that always inspires me. I love reading the man's story. That's the most decorated marine in the history of America. You can Google him up. Let me use his slang name or his nickname. They call him Chester Puller. He is the most decorated marine in the history of America. Nobody has beaten his record. He died with the record. And how many years? He died in the 1950s. And he's still very much, his record is still intact in the marine. Nobody has beaten him. This is a man that is fearless. He takes battles to the enemy. There was a day he was told not to go out to battle. And he told them that, if I stay here, myself and my men will likely die. We are going forth to take battle to the enemy. And he took against order. He took the battle to the enemy's territory. And guess what? He was surrounded by about 20. Depending on the history, where you read your history from. Some say 10, some say 22. But one thing they agreed on is that they were surrounded. And by the battalions of the enemy. And the problem is this. Each battalion of the enemy has 16,500 men. 16,500 men. He knew. He thought he was just going to confront one or two battalions. He knew. He took the battle to their zone, to their very step, to their territories, with only one installation of the Marine Corps and his own Marine installation. That's his division. The division that he took to them. They are just one division in the Marine Corps. They are just about 12,500. And he was going all out to attack about two. Hallelujah. That's about 33 men. 33,000 men against 12,500. As if that was not enough. Now, the enemy saw him. And he said, Pepe Soup. As a matter of fact, as at that time, the enemy have heard so much about him. And that they have placed a price tag of about $5,000 on his head. That anybody that can kill him, $5,000 for you. Now, you now went out. Where you have known that. He's a general. But he led his troop to the place, to the midst of battle. And he was surrounded. And his men told him that, sir, finally, we have been caught. That no way of escape. We have finally been surrounded. And they were jittery. And you know, they were bidding each other bye-bye before they start fighting. Before they were ready for slaughter. But do you know what he told his men? He said, I looked to my right. I looked to my left. I discovered that we are surrounded. From far, from near, from north, from south, from east. He said, and I've counted it. He said, we are outnumbered. 29-1. Ratio 29-1. For every one of us, we have 29 men to face us to battle. He said, but do you know the interesting thing? They said, what is the interesting thing, General? He said, all the enemies we are looking for, they have all come to our territory. He said, now let's fight. It's very easy to shoot them and not lose. Ah! Those are men that changed the world. He took the battle, and you know what? He single-handedly with his troop, they overran seven battalions. Seven multiplied 16,500 by seven. He completely overran them with his men. And he escaped with minimal casualty. Some statistics says he didn't lose up to 100 men. Can you imagine that? Why? And he's in the midst of the enemy. These are men that are fearless. Up till tomorrow, if an American Marine wants to go to bed, you know how they go to bed? After saying their prayers, they say something very interesting. They say, good night, Chester Puli, wherever you are. It is a slang in the American Marine. You can Google it up. You discover that till tomorrow, nobody has forgotten his name. His record cannot be beaten. Five solid medals, and today, nobody has beaten it. He took the battle to the enemy. Men that changed the world, they are not just fearless. They are men that go on the offensive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number three thing that are common with men that are fearless. You need to know this and never forget it. What is number three thing? They don't procrastinate. Wow. I love that. One of the reasons why many people are not doing well in life is because they are procrastinating. I have friends, I have people that I talk to. It's so sad. to know that I've met people that told me 10 years ago that this is what I want to do about my life. This is what I will do tomorrow. This is what I will do next tomorrow. In about 5 years' time, this is what I will have achieved. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And sadly enough, I've met some of them 4 years down the line, 5 years down the line, 6 years down the line. They are still saying, I'm making plans. Hallelujah. There's a popular adage in Yoruba. Let me try and translate it in English. Hallelujah. Yoruba is from West Africa here. Praise the Lord. What is the proverb? They said, if you spend 20 years in preparing to run mad, how many years will you spend as a madman? Hallelujah. That is the life of a man that procrastinates. That is the life of a man that procrastinates. 20 years is still preparing to run mad. How many years do you want to use as a madman? Hallelujah. What is procrastination? Procrastination is postponing something that you need to do, especially on a regular basis. You keep postponing it. Tomorrow I will do it. Next tomorrow I will do it. Next tomorrow I will do it. Do you know the interesting thing that I've discovered? I've discovered that anything that you want to do, the more you wait, the longer you wait, thinking about it, trying to ruminate about it, the more you have excuses not to do it. The longer you wait, the more you have excuses why you should not do it. That will keep bringing you more. So you just discover after some time that you don't need to do it again. So men that change the world, they don't procrastinate. Let me give you a scripture that blessed my life. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 4. I read it in the NLT and in the Message. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 4. It says, don't put it off. Don't put it off. It says, do it now. Beautiful scripture on procrastination. He said, don't put it off. He knows. He said, do it. He didn't say tomorrow. He said, do it now. And look at how he ended. He said, don't rest until you do. Don't rest until you do. I want to do it. Let your mind be there. Let your attention be focused on your purpose. Let your attention be focused on that which you want to do. Forget about the fear. Concentrate what you want to achieve. Concentrate on it. Hallelujah. Let me read it in the Message. The Message was very clear on this. Look at how the Message put it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 4. It says, don't procrastinate. Direct. He's giving us direct words. He said, don't procrastinate. There is no time to lose. You don't have time to lose. You don't have time to lose. You don't have that time. You don't have the luxury of time to lose. Don't procrastinate. Go about it. Go after what you want to do. And don't do it tomorrow. Do it now. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 4. It says, don't sit there watching the wind. You want to do it. You want to go out to go and plant corn. You want to go out to go and farm. And then you began to wait. Hey, will it rain today? Will it not rain today? This weather, the way I'm looking at this weather. Hallelujah. That's a man that procrastinates. He says, don't sit there watching the wind. He said, do your work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. Why? He that looks at the wind will not sow. Hallelujah. Go after what you want. Go after it. And don't do it tomorrow. Do it now. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, analysis always, too much analysis leads to paralysis. That's very true. You keep analyzing, before you know what is happening. That mission becomes paralyzed. You are no longer motivated to do it. Men that change the world are fearless. And you know why? They do not procrastinate. Praise the Lord. Number four, I'm branding up gradually. One more point after this. Number four, it says, now here is number four. They don't accept failure as part of their options. They don't accept failure as part of their options. They have different options. But you know what? Failure is not part of their options. They don't. They can't just see failure. Hallelujah. You know, let me read this scripture to you. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Numbers 13, verse 30. It says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What? Hallelujah. David fought against one Goliath. And then these people went and they came back and saw a nation of Goliaths. And they decided to do an all night. You know, when you get home, start reading Numbers chapter 12 and 13, you will laugh. Because every time I read it, I always laugh. You know why? Because I know people used to do all night of prayer and fasting. But you know what these guys did? When they had the news that the people they are going to fight are Goliath, is a country that is filled up with Goliath. You know what they did? They called for an all night. And everybody was wondering, what are we going to do in the all night? And everybody gathered for the all night and Everybody came. And they said, why we call this all night is because we are going to war. They said, and what's the problem? They said, because the problem is we are not going to come back. Ah! They said, because the people we are going to fight, we are like grasshoppers before them. They said, and as a matter of fact, inside their minds, they see us like grasshoppers. Abba, have you entered somebody's mind before to know what they think? He said, inside their mind, they see us as grasshoppers. So, why did you not call the all night? We said, we have come to cry. All night of what? He said, all night of crying. Crying or praying? He said, he's crying because tomorrow now, just all go your friends, all your family members, because you won't see them again after this. And they cried overnight. Not 10 people. Bible scholars told us that they were close to 5 million people. Can you imagine? 5 million people crying, all through the night. And one young man just stood up in the midst of them. I said, why are you guys crying? I said, what is it? He said, let's go and fight them now. We will win now. Ah! He said, we are wearable. Who speaks like that? Those are men that are fearless. Those are men that change the world. He said, we can do it. Let's go. He said, death is not part of the options. Death is not part of the options. He said, if we go, we'll come back. He said, if we go, we will come back. He was too sure. He was adamant. That's a fearless man. Hallelujah. I read the story of another general. I love reading the story of these generals because of their leadership style and qualities. I love them. This man was surrounded in a battle with the enemy. They just finished fighting. They lost a lot of men. And then the same set of enemy went and mobilized and came. The enemy said, we must finish them completely. So his men told him. They said, general, we have served you for so long. He said, but at this juncture, sir, we will no longer be able to continue fighting for you. We have decided to drop our swords and everything. We want to run away. If we are able to escape, fine, we escape. But if we are not able to escape, we have served you loyally for several years. And the man said, okay, I ask of you one thing. And he said, what is that one thing? He said, if I do it tomorrow morning, whatever be the outcome, I will accept it. If we need to run, I will run away with you. And he said, okay, what is that? He said, I know a powerful herbalist. They said, the man is a psychic in this region. He said, he's the most powerful psychic in this region. He said, I will bring the psychic. If the psychic checks and says we should go, we will fight. If we will win, we will go, we will fight. But if he says we will not win, then definitely we will down our tools and all of us will run away. They said, general, do that. At least as a sign of honor, we will stay till tomorrow and we'll see the psychic. So the following day, truly, he brought the psychic. He brought a man. And the psychic came, and the psychic brought out a coin. And he said, is this man a psychic? He said, he's a psychic. And he brought out a coin. So when the man brought out a coin, the man now told all the leaders, he said, I will throw this coin up. He said, head or tail? He said, if it is the head, that means you will win this battle. He said, if it is the tail, you will lose. So you must run. They said, okay, because they already know that if it is truly this man is a psychic, and the coin landed on the head, they will definitely win. But if it lands on the other way, they will run away. Hallelujah. And everybody said, okay. He said, do you agree? They said, they agree. Do you agree? They said, they agree. So the man brought out the coin, threw the coin up, and everybody was waiting for the coin to come down. When the coin landed, it was the edge. And the psychic said, I can assure you of one thing. And they said, what is that one thing? He said, that one thing is this. When you go for this battle, you will win. Wow. The courage of the men rose. Everybody became happy. They said, we will win this battle, even though they were outnumbered. 30-1. They were all outnumbered, but they believed the word of the psychic. So they went to the battle. They fought. You know the interesting thing? They didn't lose one single soldier. And they won. And they came back. They won. They conquered the territory. They became fearsome men. So when they gathered at table, 2 days later, and they were rejoicing and everybody was happy, lo and behold, the psychic came, and they discovered that the psychic happened to be the cousin of the general, where they removed all his mask. Ah! So, person, you also fought with us? He said, yes. But you are the one that disguised as a psychic. He said, yes. Ah. He said, so where did you get your coin from? And the general brought out the coin, and the general laughed. You know what? Both sides of the coin are heads. Hallelujah. So when he threw it up, any side that lands is head. So he already told, so he knew. So if you throw it, anybody that, the both sides are head. What does that mean? Any side that comes down, I can't lose. Failure is not an option. I go after what I want, I get it, I come back. I'm too sure I will return. Those are men that change the world. Caleb said, let us go out. once and we will win. Say it's a nation that is filled with Goliath. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. As far as I'm concerned, we go, we win, we come back with spoils of war. Hallelujah. And finally, this morning, number 5, learn this, never forget it. Men that change the world that are fearless, they know their God. And they always introduce their God to the problem. They don't introduce the problem to God. That's deep. They never introduce their God, the problem to God. That's the way many people pray. Say, God, can't you see me? Can't you see this problem? Am I the only one in the world? Can't you see so person? This is 10 years now. You have not done this. When will you do it? You have done it for so person. That's a man that is introducing a problem to God. You are simply telling God. You are reporting the problem to God. You are telling God that, God, I know you can't do anything about this problem, but they will come back and tell you that, in fact, today, I pray for 10 hours. It's a lie. You just went to intimidate God, in quotes. God can't be intimidated. Hallelujah. All of them were gathered in battle in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David showed up. They were all running as soldiers of Saul. They were all afraid. They were all running helter skelter. The young man showed up. The young man said, what is your problem? He said, don't you know the God that you serve? He said, He said, how can this uncircumcised Philistine be threatening you guys? What's wrong with you people? He said, Kai, today, if truly I serve this living God that I know, he said, look, Goliath, I will bring down your head and feed your carcasses to the birds of the air. He said, if I don't do that, call me a bastard. Hallelujah! And God looked down in heaven. He said, who is boasting about me? Where is he? He said, is that tiny boy? He said, who? They said, David, oh. He said, and we are not planning to go to war today. Because Saul and Co have been running away now. This guy now, what do we do? He said, God, you don't have a choice. He has boasted about you. He has announced you. You must do something. And heaven rose up. You think it is stone that kills Goliath? Go and try it. Throw stone on bed. You will discover that even stone is difficult for stone to keep bed. Hallelujah. Heaven rose up for a man that can boast about God. Let me give you this scripture in closing. One of my favorite scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I like when men boast about their God. Hallelujah. Look at what Paul said. He said, he was talking to his son in the Lord, Timothy. He said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Oh, he said, I know the God that I believe, that holds the whole world in his hand. He said, I know him, and I don't just know him. I am persuaded that he's with me. He is with me. I am persuaded he can conquer for me. I am persuaded that all this battle, I don't even need to lift a finger. I am persuaded that he can bring down legions. They told Jesus, they said, let's fight these people. He said, don't you know the kind of spirit that you are made of? They said, what is that spirit? He said, even if I like now, I can call down legions of angels from heaven. And they will destroy this enemy. He said, don't you know? What? Hallelujah. He said, I am persuaded that this God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Beautiful. He said, I know him. I believe him. And I am convinced beyond every reasonable and unreasonable doubt that he is able to keep. Hallelujah. Those are the men that change the world. They are fearless. Hallelujah. All right, shall we begin to pray now? I want you to begin to pray. The Lord, let every fear in me dissipate. Let every